Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. And welcome to Pledge Week, where we encourage you to support the radio station you count on for local voices and features. I'm your host, Greta Anderson, and today I'm joined by my pitch partner, Mark Edwards.
Hello, good morning.
A big supporter of KHOI Community Radio. Welcome, Mark.
Morning. Or afternoon, I guess.
It is afternoon. That's why we're on the air here at Local Talk. We play at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. Mark is a retired trail specialist for the Iowa DNR. He is also a writer and an activist on environmental issues, most recently against the Bakken pipeline proposed to traverse the state of Iowa from northwest to southeast, carrying crude oil at high temperatures and high pressure to a refinery in Illinois. We'll be talking about this pipeline all hour with Mark and with our studio guests, Larry Kearson, Jack Traeger, and Julia Slocum, one of Jack's former students at Ames High. They're hanging out right now on the couch, enjoying themselves while we kind of catch you listeners up on the story. So, among other things, Larry, Jack, and Mark, and Julia, who just joined us, will be talking about what they said and what they observed before the Iowa Utilities Board hearing yesterday at the Boone County Fairgrounds. This was a statewide hearing where the Iowa Utilities Board gave the people of Iowa one day to express themselves regarding the pipeline. I'm looking forward to hearing your impressions of yesterday very much. But before we get started, let's just remind people why we are all gathered here. The purpose of Local Talk and of KHOI more broadly is to bring community voices to the air. And this is not just the voices of politicians, though we enjoy talking to them and sometimes even asking them tough questions. We try to bring all voices to the airwaves, and it is also to be immediately responsive to our supporters' desires for their news outlet. Which brings us to you, Mark. About 2 or 2.5 weeks ago, you came down to the station here and talked to our station manager, Ursula Rudenberg. Do you want to describe that conversation?
Sure, and maybe I'll even put that in a little bit bigger context in terms of my first encounter with the radio station.
Okay.
Was with the program that was on just before this, all mixed up with Peter Beauchamp. And I remember I turned on the radio and I heard that. I went, I've never heard anything like this on the radio before. It was a speech by Martin Luther King, which I'd never heard. And that brought me into the station going, this is just incredible to hear this on the radio.
So, I remember the first time I heard Peter Beauchamp as well. It was
mind-boggling.
It was the Jimi Hendrix mix of, I don't know,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff.
Good. Comedians, yeah, it's very entertaining piece. So anyway, so I came in, and that got me kind of involved with the station, and so I'm very passionate about some of the issues that I'm involved with, and I feel like I have some information to share. So I came in and tried to get someone here to kind of pick up on the story of Boone County had just passed a resolution, the Boone County Board of Supervisors, and it was the first one in the state, and they were opposing the construction and permitting of the Bakken pipeline coming through Iowa. And this was a precedent-setting, historic thing for a county to stand up against something like this. So that kind of started this ball rolling, and then more people would become involved.
So. That's right. So I heard from Ursula that this was an important story to cover, and it had been on the periphery of my awareness. I remember talking to the Bakken Pipeline people, you know, last year, and mm-hmm. I remember being shocked when the PR person told me, oh, we've already ordered all the parts for this thing.
Yes.
And I'm like, you haven't even talked to anybody. I mean, how can you do that?
Right.
So I'd seen the news about Boone. I just hadn't, you know, connected the dots. You knew all the people in Boone because I'm sure you were at those hearings.
Yes, I've been working with the Board of Supervisors for a number of years, actually, on various other issues, too.
And, of course, Ed Fallon on the Fallon Forum Wednesdays at 4, he often talks about the Bakken pipeline. So, anyway, you were able to give me the names of some people mm-hmm. who you knew who had presented at the Boone County Supervisors hearing. I spoke with them. I met with them. I was totally blown away by the professionalism of these young women.
They were powerful people.
They were, you know, moms, and they were passionate. And we're going to hear the voice of one of them. And then the county supervisor, who much older,
Tom Foster,
agreed, you know, very willingly to come on the air. It so happened that the very next day after I spoke with the Boone County folks, Story County was having a hearing. So I was able to take my recorder in there and capture everything that went on there, which was interesting, to say the least, surreal at moments. But and we put on a show last Wednesday. And we aired it on Wednesday specifically because Wednesdays on Local Talk, we like to focus on not just Story County, but on the broader listening area, because we cover, I don't know, seven or so counties. And Wednesday is our day to do that. So,
well, that's been the wonderful thing about this station is they respond so fast, and things have been unfolding really fast with this pipeline thing. It's happened, you know, in just months, things have changed really fast. So it's nice to have something, a station that responds to that.
That's what our calling is here.
Yes,
and
it is.
So that's why I'm involved, too, to capture the news when it's happening in a way that's meaningful for people. And, of course, all of it comes down to what happened yesterday, because, you know, you were also focused on not just the fact that Boone County had made this historic move to write to the Iowa Utility Board and say, we oppose this pipeline,
right,
a very strong stance that no other county took,
right,
including Story County. You know, that was part of the story. But the other part is the Iowa Utilities Board is going to be hearing from everybody November 12th, which was yesterday,
yes,
and, you know, everybody who doesn't have a ticket, so to speak, to the evidentiary hearing, you know, anybody who just wants to, you know, open mic type of thing, speak out about the pipeline. And it was, you know, a call to folks if they want to make themselves
heard.
Yeah,
from all over the state, people from all over.
So that's what I'm really looking forward to hearing about in a few minutes. Before we get into April, let's just say this is Pledge Week. If you like, you know, local, topical coverage of important issues, now's your time to call in and pledge to this, your support to the station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been a very great opportunity for this area, listening area, because you're only going to get things on this station that you can't get anywhere else. The program after this, Unlearn and Rewild, is one of my favorite radio station broadcasts, and I set to watch it, listen to it live, even though I can get it on the computer and listen to it anytime. I tried to listen to it when it's first broadcast because I'm just so excited to hear that kind of discussion.
Yeah, Fridays are my favorite day on KHOI. I mean, you've got Peter Beauchamp, you've got Local Talk, and then you have Unlearn and Rewild and Big Picture Science later in the day.
Yeah,
so this is just a wonderful day, and it's the first day of our pledge drive, and we just like to have these pledges roll in. And you can do that by calling 292-2878. That's 292-2878, or just roll yourself into the station at 410 Douglas Avenue and say hi. And
have a cup of coffee.
Have a cup of coffee. We've got great coffee here. Yep. Rick is a coffee master, among many of his other engineering skills. He knows how to work that coffee machine, and he never fails to satisfy. So we're going to listen to the voice of a woman I visited in Boone at her house, a woman who's been very active in the protest against the Bakken pipeline.
I was pretty outraged when I heard about the plans, because these pipelines, they are not infallible. They pump highly corrosive crude oil at extremely high temperatures. And the issue at hand, a lot of people frame it in terms of rail versus pipeline. Well, I'll tell you, when you look at the statistics, you look at all of the data that's been gathered over the years, yes, there is perhaps a greater risk of immediate harm to people when you transport by rail, but no one's looking at the long-term risks of transporting by pipelines. The amount of crude oil that's released into the environment in a pipeline spill is easily 20 times that of what's released during a rail car accident. And that crude oil in Iowa immediately spills into our drainage tiles, which feed our creeks, our rivers, our ponds, right into our drinking water systems. And we don't know what the long-term effects of that will be. We don't know if we can even afford to clean up an immediate spill. Right now, there's a $250,000 surety bond requirement, and even a small spill would not be handled by a $250,000 surety bond. So it's terrifying to me. I have five children, my husband and I. We have a blended family with five children, and we'd like this to be a place where they can live the rest of their lives, where they can raise their families. And if the water becomes so toxic because of a short-sighted plan to pump crude oil out of state at no benefit to Iowans, then what kind of future are we creating for them? So that's why I became involved. I became involved this summer pretty actively in a plan to participate in the annual Puffer Billy Days Festival here in Boone. We were not allowed to participate in the parade for predominantly the reason that we were considered to be politically polarizing. So we weren't allowed to participate because the Puffer Billy Days parade does not allow political movements or hot topic issues, I believe is how it was phrased, into the parade, because it's a family parade. And all I could think was, this is a family issue. This is hugely important to families throughout the United States, not just in Iowa. So we decided to come up with an alternate plan, and we contacted private landowners along the route and were given permission to set up at 5th and Story. We had a booth where we tabled and gathered signatures from parade watchers. And from there, we had a group of about 15 people who marched down Story Street towards the intersection of Story and Mamie, and we had a demonstration where we shouted things like, no eminent domain for private gain, and we held up signs, and we got a lot of honks from people driving by and thumbs up, and from there we marched our cloth pipeline down Story Street to the main stage for Puffer Billy Days, where people were awaiting Trump's arrival for his speech, and we were able to stay there drumming and chanting for about 15 minutes before we went back. We had people of all ages with us. We had kids from 5 years old up to retirees in their 60s and 70s with us. Because this is an all ages issue. This concerns everybody. And it's not beneficial to the people who live here. I think that's the biggest thing that's really an issue right now. The Iowa Utilities Board has to make a decision on whether or not they're going to permit this pipeline to happen. And part of their responsibility is to the citizens of Iowa. This has to be beneficial to the citizens of Iowa. And yes, there are a few people who may receive temporary employment from this project. If you look at the report out of Iowa State, you'll see that there are anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people throughout the entire state of Iowa that might receive employment for 1 to 2 years. They've already contracted with companies out of Wisconsin to manage the pipeline pipe fitting work. So we already know that they're not contracting with companies in Iowa. So those companies are not beholden to hire Iowa workers. And Iowa may or may not have enough workers to do that kind of work. So it's a natural fit that they would pull people from out of the area. So for that kind of a short-sighted benefit, we are putting at risk our children's future. At this point in history, do we really need to be building additional infrastructure for transporting fossil fuels? Or do we need to be building infrastructure for alternative energies, wind energy, solar energy? I think it's outrageous that at this point in history that we would still be building new infrastructure, that we're still investing money in fossil fuel infrastructure. Not so that we can make durable goods, not so that we can make things that are going to last. We're using these fossil fuels to burn. And it's mind-boggling that we would use what we have left of the fossil fuels, which are incredibly useful resources for transportation, that we would burn them.
And that was April Birch, a resident of Boone, speaking about the Bakken Pipeline. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Greta Anderson. I'm here with Mark Edwards, who is my pitch partner.
Hello.
We are pitching the first couple balls in the first inning of our pledge drive week, and hoping that someone will step up to the plate, hey, and swing the bat. April was just great.
Oh, isn't it? It's just these young women are so passionate and so involved, and learning to get their voice has just been watching them grow and being able to publicly speak and stand up, speak from their heart. It's just been wonderful to watch.
And it's great for us, KHOI, to be part of that, to be enabling that growth of people in their authentic voices.
It sure is, because I mean, part of supporting this radio station, you know, has been for me, is it's been a mutual thing. You've given a voice to the things that matter to me, and you know, I want to help more and more. And, you know, that's the nice part about being retired now, is you can kind of volunteer and get more passionate about the issues you feel strongly about and bring them here, and you get to share that voice with more people.
And we have a couple of other retirees here sitting, waiting to speak. We have Jack Troger, a retired earth science teacher who seems to run into his Ames High School students wherever he goes. And they all just admire the heck out of him, you can tell. And we have Larry Kearson, a retired engineering consultant. And we have one of Jack's students as well, Julia Slocum, a farmer up in Story County north of Ames.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have Larry here because he has this regular column going in the Ames paper of issues, and it's just been wonderful to have that voice in the paper and then bring that to the station, too.
So. That's right. We have a lot of writers and wordsmiths right here.
Yeah.
It's because Jack is quite the punster, poet, geezer, stargazer. okay. Let's talk about the Boone County's response to these amazing voices.
Okay. Well, like I say, Boone County was the first county to come out unanimously opposed to this. And I think it's interesting to understand one of the dimensions to this whole issue is eminent domain, of which they all strongly felt about. But they also said on the water district, they're responsible for our water districts. And if you're aware at all about what's going on with the lawsuit from the waterworks in Des Moines about the Des Moines River and the Raccoon River and getting our water from that supply, you can see that who's responsible for our water? How are we going to take care of that? And that's one of the issues of the pipeline. If there was a spill, that would affect all our drinking water. And so the Boone County people said, well, we have no ways to deal with that. I mean, none whatsoever. We don't have the resources, the people. There's no filtration system that could handle that kind of thing. And so they said, if we're going to represent the water district, you know, we can't be responsible for this.
That's right. And when Tom Foster, one of the supervisors, came on our show, he was saying that they're going to put forth another resolution with specific in case that the pipeline is approved by the Iowa Utilities Board, stating specifically what their requirements are, Boone County's requirements,
yes,
as the trustees of this system of underground pipes, of drainage tiles. You know, this is our responsibility, and you've got to do these things. And I just think that really made me excited, because I was like, well, geez, yeah, other people need to listen to this. Like, Story County needs to listen to this and figure out what,
sure,
what they can do.
Our representatives. I mean, and that's, you know, the company only has $250,000 liability insurance. Someone's going to be left holding the bag here. So.
Yeah. Well, and Boone County is just such an emerald gem, you know, right in the middle of the Des Moines lobe. Here, mm-hmm, in Story County, we're sort of toward the edge. Then you get to Marshall County, it's sort of not so much. But, you know, Boone County is so beautiful. You know why the people there are just crazy about their natural resources.
Well, in Iowa, which is one of the most biologically altered states in North America, you know, they don't realize, I think, how lucky they are to have that green belt, that Des Moines River green belt coming down there. The wildlife, the flow of life across the landscape is special to Boone.
And so, and meanwhile, the day after I spoke with these Boone County residents, there was a hearing, like I said, at the Story County Supervisors meeting about the proposed pipeline. The League of Women Voters had put forth a resolution calling for a thorough and independent environmental and economic review of the pipeline before the IUB made its decision. And speaker after speaker showed up to testify against the pipeline, among them two of our guests, Larry and Jack. And our listeners, like you mentioned, might be familiar with the opinions of Larry Kearson on the pipeline because he is a regular column in the Ames Tribune. And he's going to share some of our his writings with us in a bit. He's a retired civil engineer. Are you from Northeast Iowa?
Southeast.
Oh, Southeast. Okay. I was trying to figure out what that 563 area code was. But we are going to introduce Jack Troeger through his testimony that he gave to the Story County supervisors 10 days ago. Jack Troeger.
Jack Troeger, 1009 16th Street in Ames. Retired earth science teacher with a master's degree in geology from Iowa State. Not bragging, but I'm a tad more knowledgeable about this issue than most people. Kelsey Warren's pipeline is unwarranted. Do you like that one? My perspective. I'm a terrorist. I believe in terrorism. Yes, you heard that correctly. Terrorist, let me spell it out for you. I'm T-E-R-R-A-I-S-T. Terrorism. T-E-R-R-A-I-S-M. Terra, Latin for earth. Terrorism defined. Earth first in things, thoughts, deeds, decisions. As hard as I try to live up to those seven words, I can't because I live in civilization, a society that doesn't accept those seven words. I try. That's all I can do. As a child, I knew I was a terrorist by the age of 5. Though trained to be a professional geologist, I could simply not drill, baby, drill. Some of my classmates now have tens of millions of dollars doing that. I was a teacher. Instead, I used my geological knowledge to serve Earth, not corporate greed. The Lorax spoke for the trees. I speak for Earth and all species. Picture Southwest Story County. Pierced, penetrated with a 30-inch diameter pipe by billionaire Texas terrorist Kelsey Warren. He's not a terrorist. Now, picture that pipeline leaking as a few volunteer people, terrorists, struggled to staunch the toxic flood of black blood, oily black blood. However you vote, please consider voting on these resolutions to protect Story County. Reject Warren's wish to pump 31 million gallons of Bakken crude through it daily, 10 billion gallons yearly, equal to all of the manure defecated by Iowa's 21 million hogs annually. And there are only 3 million of us, humans. That's 7 of them for each one of us. Jobs, jobs. Jobs. The usual mantra. Sad but true. Many, if not most of them, will magically disappear. And I have spent my entire working life as a proud union man. All pipelines leak, period. Iowa is already the single most environmentally altered state in the U.S. of A. Only 0.1% of it remains as it once was. If you let him, Warren will terrorize Iowa and Iowans without 1 inch of remorse. Boone County, supervisors did it, now it's your turn. Bakken oil is dead. D-E-A-D. And I know this. I'm a geologist. Drilling rigs are leaving North Dakota faster than they arrived. Fracked wells are depleted in a few years. Why build a pipeline for an oil field soon to be shut down? Point blank, Earth rules, and she does not compromise. Hurricane Patricia. She will consider Warren's pipeline a blatant act of cold-blooded terrorism and do whatever is necessary to stop it. Today, you guys got to choose. Terror and terrorism, or terror and terrorism. And I hope you'll choose for Earth. Thank you for listening, guys. Thank you for listening.
That was Jack Troeger addressing the Story County supervisors last week regarding the Bakken pipeline and specifically regarding a League of Women Voters resolution, which the supervisors declined to take up. Jack, you are a retired earth science teacher. You talked about in your testimony how you had studied geology but decided not to go the route of big money and be employed by those on the dark side. So we're so glad that you're on our side. You are so eloquent and have so many interesting things to say and interesting ways to put it.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. I enjoy playing with words. I have a bachelor's degree in English, and I figure I better make use of it. But geology has always been my love, and you're right. There's no way in the world I could go out into the world and use Earth in an abusive way. It's just too difficult for me.
That's right. You were telling me that you're not a tree hugger.
No.
That's not enough for you.
No.
You're an earth hugger.
Yes. I love being an earth hugger.
You got the whole earth in your arms.
Yes. And some people say, I look like I'm big enough to do that.
Well, it's going to take the strength of Atlas to break the will of the Iowa Utilities Board, I'm afraid.
It's going to be very, very difficult. I've been involved with trying to fight the powers that be for an awful long time. And it's very, very difficult. We need a lot more earth huggers that are willing to stand up and fight back.
Mm. And you were there yesterday at the Iowa Utility Board hearing.
Yes. Yes, I love doing that. I love to fight back.
Every chance you get.
Every chance I get.
Okay. And Mark Edwards, my pitch partner here.
Yeah.
Mark has been fighting back, and I could tell that you two have talked because Mark's comment about the most biologically altered state. I think, pretty soon there's going to be hundreds and then maybe thousands of Iowans speaking these words.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
Well, how everything's down to sound bites. So it's hard to beat that one, the most biologically altered landscape in North America. But I don't think we know what that means. And that's what we're exploring. And we can explore it through the pipeline. We can explore it through water quality. There's various ways to try to figure out what that means. And we need to. That's what we need in Iowa.
And you're a retired trail specialist, so you are trying to preserve a small piece of wilderness, although it was altered by trails.
Sure. Well, that was the great part about my job is, I became a grant writer, and so I started the interpretive program, the water trails program, ecosystem management, all these various other programs besides just the trails. And I worked with AmeriCorps, which is a Peace Corps in the United States, so we were allowed to work with hundreds of young people and bring them into the DNR to do the kind of work that needs to be done to even collect the data so we can figure out what's going on in the landscape. So through my job, I got to travel the whole state. I got exposed to all the different facets of the DNR, and I came up with lots of firsthand experiences of interaction with the wildlife and the landscape. But I also got a lot of knowledge because I would work with all these different people in the field that had real hardcore experiences out there, and they shared that with me, and that's helped me grow and understand where I live. And that's the thing I have to share, and I'm trying to share it with young people because they're going to inherit this place, and we're the front lines of this discussion of how we're going to live on this landscape, and we better figure it out here before where we have very little left.
That's right. And KHOI is also on the front lines of making people aware of their immediate surroundings, the resources in our surroundings, the whether they be natural or human, the history of our place. We are all about finding our place here in Central Iowa, and so we are very grateful to have your voice and your expertise, you know, joining our show every so often to, you know, so that we get that perspective.
Thank you.
On well, you shared your perspective recently in a couple of newspapers, maybe?
Yeah. Well, actually, papers picked it up pretty good. I tried to send it all along the pipeline, but, yeah, most of the papers printed it. So I was glad. It's an art form trying to get said something in 200 words
yes,
or something less.
The letter to the editor. Would you share that letter to the editor with our listeners?
I'd be honored. Thank you. I retired as trails coordinator from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources after 30 years of public service. I've worked across the state with the Army Corps of Engineers, Native American people, and many, many government organizations. During this time, I managed millions of dollars for trail development on state land. I also represented the people of Iowa on state and federal trail grant committees, awarding multiple millions of dollars for trails. If the DNR wanted to build a new hiking trail, a foot trail, not a concrete bicycle trail, just a trail in the woods, if we even wanted to move an existing trail 12 feet to the side to reduce the erosion problems, we would be required to go through more scrutiny than this pipeline will. To build the trail would require an official agreement with the Army Corps of Engineers, Department of Transportation, many Native American tribes, state historical preservation offices, various other federal government requirements, Clean Water Act, National Environmental Policy Act, Federal Endangered Species Act, Sovereign Lands, Construction Permit, Floodplain Permits. As of February of this year, and actually even May of this year, many of the permits for this pipeline had not even been applied for. So if I wanted to supervise a trail project in the state, I would need this environmental review, and it rarely ever happened under 3 years after starting the paperwork permitting process. And so here this pipeline is going to come in and be in the ground, they're saying, in just about a year's time. So how can a hiking trail project less than 100 feet in length take longer and receive more oversight than this hazardous 1,134-mile-long pipeline? And through this process, as I've been following with the Iowa Utilities Board, it's become pretty clear that this appears to be a rigged game, and it's an abuse of the public trust.
And that was Mark Edwards, my pitch partner, reading his letter to the editor about the Bakken Pipeline that got published in various newspapers along the pipeline trail. And when I heard Larry Kirsten speak, I can't remember which one came first, your article or Larry's testimony at Story County Supervisors Meeting. You guys were making almost the same point, although from very different perspectives. Larry, you are a retired engineering consultant, and so in the process of doing your work, you also had to jump through hoops, so to speak, regarding environmental impacts of the things that you are doing.
Very much so. I can second everything that Mark has just said about the hoops that you have to jump through in order to get a project approved and underway. I spent much of my professional career working on civil works projects, both large and small, and oftentimes we would see that we would be spending 2 years doing the preliminary reviews, getting ready for a project that might only take 6 months to construct. So I very much appreciate what you've just said there.
Thank you, Larry.
And Larry, you also have published in the newspapers about the Bakken Pipeline specifically. Would you like to read an excerpt of one of your editorials?
I'd be happy to. Much of the conversation that we heard yesterday at the utility board hearing discussed pipelines versus railroads, which is the best, which is the safest. And I did write a piece several months ago that addressed that particular issue. And if I might, I'll pick up in the middle of that essay and just read a bit of it. We seem to be locked in an endless debate regarding the alternative merits of oil transport via pipeline or by rail tanker. Do trains have accidents causing tank cars to rupture, explode, and burn? Yes. Does this cause environmental damage? Yes. Do pipelines leak? Yes. Which form of oil transport is the best or the worst? It's the wrong question. Pipeline construction, pipeline leaks, and train crashes cause localized damage to people and the environment. The damages may be severe, even catastrophic, but they do disrupt a finite segment of the planet. On the other hand, continued burning of fossil fuels drives climate change. Every person and every place in the world will see and feel results of climate change. The scope and sweep of changes resulting from continued burning of fossil fuel dwarfs the impact of even the worst pipeline rupture or railroad crash. If we want to have fewer rail car crashes and disasters, we should burn less oil and therefore move less oil by rail. If we want to minimize pipeline construction impacts and reduce pipeline leaks, we should burn less oil and build fewer pipelines. If we want to stave off and reverse the impacts of climate change, we should burn less oil. The answer seems obvious if you ask the right question.
And the headline for your piece was, Ask the Right Question. And we like to do that here at KHOI Community Radio. And right now, we'd like to ask you the question, why do you listen to KHOI? Why do you tune in at noon to local talk? Is it because you might just hear a local activist talking about something they feel passionate about? Is it because you might learn something that you hadn't considered before? Those are a lot of the reasons that I hear people say that they tune into local talk. And of course, there's always they like to hear their friends on the radio.
Well, it's a different format here, that's for sure, than most of the other radio stations. That's my interest. I get stuff here I get nowhere else.
And so we'd like to hear from you. If this is a time that you like to tune in to KHOI Community Radio, you can give us a call at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or you can go online. People love to do that because, you know, they're already on their computers. We're such, you know, visual computer addicts that it just fits right in. You press a button and you get your money sent to us, and we're just fine with that. You know, if you don't want to talk to us.
That's right. Well, you can listen to anything you want anytime. I mean, that's the great part.
That's true. That's another aspect of our website, khoifm.org. You can listen to past shows. You can download the shows that we produce here in the studio. The talk shows, that is, not the music shows. And so, yeah, khoifm.org, that's a great way to show your appreciation of this great radio station, which allows us so much freedom. I just love the freedom.
Me too.
Freedom of speech and freedom of information. And we're getting to the bottom of things here about the Bakken Pipeline. And, you know, one of the people I spoke with from Boone, Lahoma Simmons, she comes from a rail family, and she was saying that, you know, the railroads have been working on improving the safety of those rail cars, that they've been, you know, developing new rail cars to carry the crude, and then, you know, well, no, got to switch gears again. We're going to do a pipeline now. So there's that to think about, too. There's just so many dimensions that you don't know until you talk to all these people. And sometimes you need a whole hour to talk about a subject.
Yeah.
And we feel that the Bakken Pipeline is one of those subjects. There was actually a whole 8 or 9 hours yesterday for folks to talk about the Bakken Pipeline in front of the Iowa Utilities Board. And among those speaking was Julia Slocum, who's in the studio with us. And so, Julia, you're a younger You're the youngest person here, except for our good engineer, Nadia Abdelazim. And you are a graduate of University of Iowa. Let's start with your graduate of Ames High School, where you studied with Jack.
Yeah, Mr. Turger was my homeroom teacher in 1999. And I just told him I still have the star wheel on the wall of my office that I got from him as my homeroom teacher.
He's a star geezer. And that's a lovely story. And now you're a farmer.
I am, yeah. I'm just finishing up my third season of Lacewing Acres, a certified organic vegetable farm just north of Ames. I grew up in Ames and went to University of Iowa. I came back a few years ago. I'm really passionate about agriculture and felt like, well, when I got to Iowa, like I met all these young people who were interested in agriculture and it just felt like there's no better place pretty much on the planet to be interested in sustainable agriculture. They say the belly of the beast.
Right.
And I think I actually didn't speak yesterday. And what Mark said earlier about how encouraging it is to see these young women gaining their confidence and finding their voices, I think there's often such a tendency to feel like there are other people who know more than you do or have a better understanding of what the issues are. And I think I was there for a few hours yesterday listening and just feeling like, oh, I might actually have something to contribute to this conversation. The pipeline is slated to be passing less than a quarter mile from my parents' land. And as neighbors, it's, because it's not actually going on their property, they have no rights of negotiation, despite how directly impacted they will be by construction of the pipeline. They're also on well water. So on a personal level, very concerned about what that means for them. And also as a farmer and having this dream of being a landowner at some point, the precedence this sets for eminent domain, what does it mean to own land in Iowa if the utility board can take the right of land ownership away and hand it over to private companies? It is so disheartening and maddening, and it just, there's no sense to it. So,
Julia, you say you didn't actually go up to the podium yesterday, or you did?
No, I've been a letter writer type for a lot of my life, I was at once very heartened and disheartened by what I heard yesterday. It seemed like so much of it was coming down to people who trusted that the company was going to do the right thing and do the best job they could, and then other people on the other side feeling like the company has already violated our trust in so many ways, how they have intimidated landowners, basically tricked them into thinking that this is a done deal when it is not, and getting people to sign over easements. In so many ways.
Well, Julia, your voice is so strong. I just have to tell you that I am thrilled that KHOI is broadcasting your voice, because your voice is very important. I have a little water in my eyes.
No, thank you. I should say I actually just joined KHOI this morning, just recognizing the power of this sort of network and hearing these voices, it's a really beautiful thing.
Well, congratulations. So. We're so glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you. It's great.
And we'll be so glad to have others. Membership is only $55, and you can join if you are ready to join at the $250 level. That is what really helps sustain us. We are looking for 500 families at that $250 level. And once we have that, you know, then we can stop, really pulling out our hair, wondering how we're going to pay the next check, pay the next bill. So thank you so much for joining, and I encourage the listeners to do the same. Take Julia's lead. She's a great leader already. Mark, we have not talked about one perspective that was present, I'm sure, quite a bit yesterday at the Iowa Utility Board hearing, and that is that of the unions. And
I've been so involved with this for so a while. I spent quite a bit of time talking to the union people, and I come from a construction background, and so I speak the language, and I was a union member, so I understand that level. And so I was very taken back by how articulate these people actually were in understanding the situation and not being opposed and understand the environmental consequences. But, you know, they're talking about it's the choice between two evils to them. You know, they got to feed their family. They're looking for a job. You know, this is their livelihood. This is what they do. And, you know, that made me realize that really this pipeline, if we just look at it through that one dimension, you know, you can get off into the details and talk about 60% of the labor union that was represented there yesterday came from out of state. They were bused in, paid to come and speak, and they travel around the country doing that at these various hearings. So when I talk to them, though, you know, they're like the political system we're in today, where we're talking about the lesser of two evils sometimes. That's how we discuss the two political parties. And that's how they discuss this. They weren't happy with the corporations and how they were being taken advantage of. They had safety concerns. There was various other things that they're concerned about, too, as workers in that for that corporation. So really, it was kind of neat. I thought it was a poor way to play it off yesterday to have it as this opposed between the labor unions and the people concerned about eminent domain and all these various other issues, when actually there was a common ground between a lot of us there, a lot of us. And I wish that would have been the picture more that came out instead of the sensationalism of these two opposing groups. And
yeah, that's interesting. You know, you said it was one-dimensional. That's kind of like the pipeline. That's just one dimension. It's just, you know, going in a straight line. And look at all the resources all around us to create energy, to multiply energy. Right. And, you know, that's not happening. And those are construction jobs that could be happening.
Well, and as Larry said, it's wasting energy. I mean, we're burning off 20%, flaring off 20% of what we're getting out of the box, just throwing it into the air. So, I mean, we need to talk about all the alternatives here, I think, and have a serious discussion like this.
All right. So, yeah, so I guess at the hearing yesterday, it alternated between opponents and supporter of the pipeline.
Yeah, and I have one person said something yesterday, and someone needs to explain to me why wanting clean drinking water and a good environment makes you an activist, and while proposing to destroy the water in chemical warfare doesn't make a corporation a terrorist. And that gets back to what Jack's saying, I think what Larry's saying, and I think we can all jump in on this one. I thought that summed it up pretty good.
All too often it seems to me that the corporation, Dakota Access, and Kelsey Warren himself have set about to try to create a rift between two groups of people that really have a lot in common. I was a union member for years as a teacher, so I understand. But at the same time, making us as at opposition with each other, that just seems to help destroy the situation. And Kelsey Warren sits back in his fine offices in Texas or wherever his home happens to be, in Colorado or wherever, and takes advantage of us as Iowans.
And isn't that true also of the political system in so many ways?
Very true.
They've set us against each other where we have so much in common. And that's one of the things I really love about KHOI is finding that common ground,
yes.
Finding, you know, talking to people who consider themselves conservatives and, you know, because, okay, everybody, I'm a liberal, I confess. But anyway, I'm progressive. But finding, you know, that we have the same concerns. We have the same basic concerns. And we actually have a common enemy if we can look at it a little more clearly.
Well, and not just enemy, but what world do we want to live in? You know, do we want to spend our time fighting among ourselves instead of working towards some better solution together? I think that's the point.
Yeah.
I just got tired of voting for the lesser of two evils and just gave that up and said, how can I create for myself what I believe in? Terrorist, T-E-R-R-A-I-S-T.
And I think, you know, for me, I don't mean to interrupt, Jack, but I think you hit a good point there that, you know, it's when I look at, I try to give money to various organizations. And so now I'm realizing, well, I think I'd do better local. And so I'm trying to focus down on the local level and put my energy in both helping, volunteering, growing my own food. I do big gardens, that kind of thing, and giving my money locally as I do to this station.
Well, and we thank you for that, Mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, just what you said, Jack, about trying to create something locally, trying to create something that has kind of a ripple effect in affecting people's consciousness and enabling people to work together, you know, connecting people to resources. Those are the things that KHOI does. That's what Local Talk, this radio show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m., that's what we strive to do. And so we hope that our audience resonates with that mission of building community through communication, because that's what we are all about here. You can call us, 292-2878, if you agree, or just like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
We just love those likes. But no, you can do much more than that. You can press go to our website, khoifm.org, and press the, not just the Listen Now button, but also press the Donate Here button. So we're coming down to the end, and I'd kind of like to just hear each person's voice again, saying what connection is there between the struggles that we fight and the struggles that we have with corporate America and the struggles we have to preserve our local homes and local livelihoods and KHOI, community radio.
Well, I thought the hearing yesterday was very informative in that regard. We did hear a lot of the opponents of the pipeline. They were very articulate. They were very respectful. And on the other side, we heard very much the voice of organized labor opting for jobs. So the two sides were very obvious, were very vocal in their concerns. I thought the hearing was good from the standpoint of getting this out in the open. I doubt that it changed many people's minds.
And that was Larry Kearson, Jack Trugger.
It's hard to try to sum up something that was a whole day in just a few words, you know. What you said, Mark, a quick sentence. It's hard to do, and I don't have any way of doing that. I guess for me it's good to have an opportunity to speak out, even for both sides or many sides. There are many sides, and it's just good to have that opportunity. We need more of it. We really need a lot more of it. One of the things that I do as a retired person is I spend a lot of time reading now, because all I ever had time to read when I was teaching...
Let me guess.
Was my technical journals.
Oh, I thought you were going to say student papers.
No. But it just, and I didn't have time to read the books and all of the articles that I wanted to read. I do a lot more of that now, and it gives me a whole different perspective. But it's so wonderful to be surrounded by your former students. I'm just in heaven, ecstasy. It's wonderful.
And one of Jack's former students, Julia Slocum.
Yeah. I don't know how to sum it up either. I mean, I was only there for a few hours, and I felt like I was very strongly getting this pretty blatant binary of jobs versus environment. And I think that that's just like a really destructive, divisive way of thinking about the problem. I kind of wish that we had, I realize this isn't the setup of what that event was supposed to be, but wishing that there were like a strong facilitator who could call out, like misconceptions, could call out like blatant lies, you know, just to like get real information out there.
Immediate fact checker.
Yeah, a fact checker, like a big screen with a fact checker on it would have been phenomenal. But I mean, obviously that's not the world we live in. I think just like encouraging more people to come out and speak, just, yeah, getting more voices out there is really important. So thank you.
And that's what we do here at KHOI. Mark?
Oh, wow. Let's see. The soundbite is we got to start connecting these dots because it's water quality. It's where we live. These are the things that this station does, and we need to do more of it instead of just looking at these as isolated fights over certain little issues.
Okay. So put your money where your mouth is.
Yes.
Hey, that's what we should do because your mouth can be right here at the microphone.
Yeah, come sharing, join us.
Come join us and air your views. And because we know that you've thought a lot about something, and so you're entitled to come right on the station and talk about it. So please be our guest sometime here on Local Talk. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We've had Mark Edwards as I'm Greta Anderson, your host. Mark Edwards has been my my co-host, and we've had Julia Slocum, Jack Troger, and Larry Kirsten in the studio with us. Nadia Abdelazim was our very gracious engineer, stepped in when we needed her. And you're listening to Backtracking by a local band, Al Harris and Tom Richards, from their ballad of Kate Shelley CD, which is Kate Shelley, a big Boone County yes. person. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in every Friday at noon. It's a good time to do it because you've got good shows on either side of you, and you can just enjoy the day. Please think about what the station means to you, because you mean a lot to us. Okay, that's all. We're signing off now.